Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Kelly Hare. I'd like to thank you for calling in to Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus, radio episode 75. My friends, before I begin tonight, let us all pray. Lord Jesus Christ, let us, through your Spirit, teach us all your word better tonight and get a more understanding of what you want us to hear and place in our hearts, Lord. For we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeshua is Lord. Amen. Amen. Tonight, my friends, we're going to start with the book of Jeremiah. We're going to read chapter 45. And let us begin. The word that Jeremiah, the prophet, spoke to Baruch, the son of Neriah, when he had written these words in the book of the instruction of Jeremiah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Jeshua, king of Judah, say, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, to you, Baruch. You said, woe is me now, for the Lord has added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my side, and I find no rest. Thus you shall say to him, thus saith the Lord, behold, what I have built, I will break down, and what I have planted, I will pluck out, that is the whole land. And do you seek great things for yourself? Do you seek them? For behold, I will bring adversaries, the Lord, and I will give you your life to you as a prize in all places, wherever you go. You see, with the king, with this man, if he had been walking with the Lord, none of this would be happening to him. Better things would be going on in his life. But he wasn't walking with the Lord at all. And the Lord was going to let all this stuff happen to him. When we do walk away from the Lord, that the world that throws things at us when we're saved and we always know that the Lord is with us, we find out pretty soon how much more terrible it could be when we are not walking with the Lord, and things do happen. And yes, the Lord will put a judgment upon us. And in this case, for this man over here, he let his man, even though he faced adversaries, he let him live. He will not let his enemies take him down. Now, the fact of it is, when the Lord says he could pluck up things, it is true. When he has made something, he can. He created the house of Israel, and he plucked him out of Israel because of a punishment that they chose worshiping pagan gods. And he let them fall to the Babylonians. And that's what happened to them. If they would have stayed with the Lord, and if they would have kept on studying the book of Leviticus about what would happen if they stayed with the Lord, nothing would have happened to them, because the Lord said, I will let your enemies fall before me, because basically what he's saying is if they stood with the Lord and did not go after pagan gods. But he also told them he would let their enemies defeat them if they walked away from him. Now, some humanists might be a lot selfish. Not at all, because when you have a relationship with God, let us compare it to a relationship when you have with people. If someone doesn't really want you in their life anymore, there's nothing you can do about it. Even if they get themselves in trouble and they do need help, well, they decided you're not in your life anymore, and you very well can't help them, can you? That is their own choice. Same way with the Lord God. When we decide we don't want him anymore, he will let us have our own way, and we'll see how life is without him. He'll let us go back to where we were before we knew him, when we walked in the darkness. If we go back to the darkness, that's where we're going to be. And the Lord's going to let the darkness overtake us because we chose that path for our life. We told the Lord, I want this path. I don't want you butting into my life. When you walk with the Lord, even when darkness comes into your life, the Lord is with you. And eventually, what seems impossible that you'll never get through it is possible because the Lord can make anything possible within your life. Let's go on to Jeremiah now, chapter 46. The word of the Lord, which came to Jeremiah the prophet against the nation, against Egypt, concerning the army of the Pharaoh, Necho, king of Egypt, which was by the river Euphrates in Carmarthen, and which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, defeated in the fourth year of Jotham, the son of Josh, the king of Judah. Order the buckler and shield, draw near to battle, harness the horses, and man up your harnesses. Stand forth with your helmet, polish the spears, put on the armor. Why have I seen them dismayed and turned back? Their mighty ones beaten down. They are speedily fled and did not look back. For fear was all around, saith the Lord. Do not let the swift flee away, nor the mighty men escape. They will stumble and fall toward the north by the river Euphrates. Who is coming up like a flood? Whose water moves like the river? Egypt rises up like a flood, and its waters move like the river. And he said, I will go up and cover the earth. I will destroy the city and its inhabitants. Come and rage, O chariot, and let the mighty men come forth. The Ethiopians and the Libyans who handle the shield, and the Lydians who handle the bend and bow. For this is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge himself on his adversary. The sword will devour, it shall be satisfied, and made drunk with their blood. For the Lord of hosts has sacrificed in the north river, by the river Euphrates. Give up, Gilead, and take fall, O virgin, the daughter of Egypt. In vain you will use many medicines. You shall not be cured. The nations have heard your shame, and your cry has filled the land. For the mighty men have stumbled against the mighty. They both have fallen together. And remember, in the previous chapter, the Lord warned them, told Jeremiah to tell the people of Israel if they went into Egypt, Egypt would be conquered by the Babylonians. And it did happen. The Lord had Nebuchadnezzar conquer Egypt. And you know, with the children of Judah, they should have listened to the Lord. But every time the Lord told them to do something, they would not listen. They did what they wanted to do in their own eyes, believing themselves to be right. And that's the whole point, my friends, when you decide that you're right and God is wrong. Why do you think God is wrong? When you follow the Lord, doesn't everything come out okay? Why then do you think you're smarter than the Lord? How many churches out there have fallen because they did not listen to the Lord? They decided to listen to their own church tradition. When I say church traditions, I mean words that aren't from the Bible, the other things that are thrown into your church life in church, and that is your church tradition. And you hold that higher than the Word of God. And when you do start doing that, your church will have problems because God's not going to bless it unless you and your church body decide you're going to follow the Lord to the letter T. You're going to stop following your own church tradition and make time to go by men inside your church as the Word of God. But it's not. You're going to have to follow what's in the Bible. That is the Word of God, and follow His Word and His teaching. If you do that, the Lord will bless your church. That is why we all need a revival in our churches. And revival comes with you personally. If you want a revival, it has to come through your heart. Oh, sure, you can have a revival in your church, but you all can feel good about yourself. But the next week after the revival's over and nothing happens, you have to question, what went wrong? Why is there no growth? How come nothing happened? Nothing happened because the congregation did not really have a personal revival in their heart. I remember a story that happened. It was back in the 1990s. It was in a Methodist church. A pastor was invited to come to the preacher revival. The pastor got in front of the church. He's right behind the pulpit. He asked the congregation, how many are looking for a revival? Please raise your hand, he asked. None of the members raised their hand. The pastor looked at the congregation startling, Bible up, and said, if you do not want a revival, then I'm going to leave. I believe he did. He left many people with an open mouth and couldn't believe what the pastor did. He had a question of Christianity. How can he do that? How can he walk out of the church when he was supposed to be the pastor for the revival? The reason why he walked out was because he asked a simple question. Did the congregation want a revival? Please raise your hand. And when none of them raised their hands, well, he fell. And he felt the Holy Spirit telling him to leave that church because they were not willing to receive God's Holy Spirit, a revival within their heart personally, nor did they really want a revival. A revival in the church became more of a tradition to have rather than experiencing the love of the Lord within their heart. The revival should have started within their hearts before that pastor got there. And when that pastor asked them to raise their hand, every member of that church should have raised their hands and shouted hallelujah and been ready for the word of the Lord was going to teach His people. But it didn't happen that way. They didn't raise their hand. And the pastor walked out. My friends, following God, not about you and me. It's about the Lord. We follow Him. He doesn't follow us. In our heart, in our human heart, we are greedy, we could be evil, we could be selfish, but the Heavenly Father is not selfish. He is good, keeps on helping us grow and cleanses us, that makes us want to be more like Him, that He finds favor in us, and that means we have to have a revival within our hearts of wanting Him. If we don't want Him, He'll give us what we want, and will not give us that revival. We're going to have to work the revival within our hearts. Not the other way around. For the Lord will never, let me say this again, he will never force his will upon you. If you want his will in your life, you're going to have to ask for it. And if you ask for it, you're going to have to obey it by reading his word. And you'll know what he wants you to do in your life. Mainly, when you pray, you should be praying to honor him. Yes, you can ask for things, but I'm not saying make your prayers into asking things every day like he's a wishmaker. Prayer could be glorifying the Lord, praising the Lord. Prayer could be interceding for other people who need his love. Praying for your fellow brother and sister in Christ. Or praying for someone to come to Christ. Praying for revival from the church, which means the churches around the world have to have a revival in their heart to get it, to have a Holy Spirit revival. We in the United States want to see a third great awakening. But it won't come unless we have a revival in our hearts first, and we really want it. Because if we really want God's will to touch your heart, we're going to have to see some change, don't we? And if you don't want any change, the Lord's not going to force you to change. You're going to have to want the change for him to do anything. Amen. Amen. Let's continue on with verse 13. The word that the Lord spoke to Jeremiah the prophet, how Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, would come and strike the land of Egypt, declare Egypt and proclaim in Migdol, proclaim enough in Moab, sorry about that, and proclaim in Talisman. Say, stand fast and prepare yourself, for the sword devours all around you. Why are your valiant men swept away? They do not stand, because the Lord drove them away. He made many fall, yet one fell upon another, and they said, arise. Let us go back to our own people and to the land of our nativity. From the oppressing sword they cried there. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is but a noise. He has passed for the appointment time. As I live, says the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts, surely as Tabor is among the mountains, as Carmel by the sea, so he shall come. O you daughter dwelling in Egypt, prepare yourselves. Go into captivity for Noah. Noah shall be a waste and be desolate without inhabitants. Egypt is like a very pretty heifer, but destruction comes. It comes from the north, and her mercenaries are in her midst like a fat bull. For they also are turned back. They have fled away together. They did not stand, for the day of their calamity has come upon them, the time of their punishment. Her noise shall go like the serpent, for there shall march with many armies, with an army, and come against her with axes, like those who chop wood. They shall cut down your cause. They are immutable and more numerous than grasshoppers. The daughters of Egypt shall be ashamed. He shall be delivered into the hand of the people of the north. The Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, says, behold, I will bring punishment on Amon. Oh no, and Pharaoh and Egypt with their gods, and the king Pharaoh and those who trust him, and I will deliver them in the hand of those who seek their lives, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and in the hand of his servants. Afterward, it shall be inhabited in the days of old, saith the Lord.
Wow.
Well, see, again, we were just reading in this chapter what's going to happen to Egypt. And historically, this did happen to Egypt. Babylon did conquer the land of Egypt. And my friends, that is why do we read the Old Testament in the first place? Why? Because we see this is a lesson for our country and also for our church. If we want our country to really be great again, a personal revival must come from our hearts. We can complain about what's going on in the world. We can complain about how the movie industry has mocked Christianity and praises the world, or how the news media attacks Christianity and yet praises the world. And the reason why is the church decided to hold back and let the world go and has agreed that, oh yes, the world can live morally without Jesus. And yet, we're seeing the effect it's having in Western society, because what's happening is you're seeing nations turning away from the Lord, making laws that the world once made. Christians are not considered to be hateful people because we believe in the Word of God. And how did this happen? Which did not happen 50 years ago, but why is it happening now? Because the church decided to leave the world and stick to inside our pulpit. Well, we're now witnessing affecting our churches as well, where there's many empty churches. Many people in church will tell you things that the world teaches and brings them to the church and thinks it's just. But it's not just. And the church is seeing the reward what happens when we walk away from God. We see a nation not walking God's way. We see a movie industry that attacks us. We see a news media that attacks us. Well, they have no respect for the church, consider you and I the enemy. But my friend, we can turn things around while the world says, no, you can't. We can turn things around by having a personal revival in our hearts, coming back to the Lord Jesus Christ, and every church in the United States, through Canada, Europe, South Africa, and all around the world, have that personal revival, that this revival will then go within your church and will grow. You'll feel the Holy Spirit grow as the day of Pentecost when the apostles felt it. If you want it, it will come. If you don't want it, you're going to expect the same thing going on again. Right now, I would say we need to pray for our President Trump in the United States, because a lot of us who are Bible-believing Christians did pray for Donald Trump to win the 2016 election. But the Antichrist spirit that is out there, who wants a new world order and a one-world government, want him out of office. And they do not want him to finish his four-year term. They want him out of office today. We must, as Christians, keep on praying for President Trump, that God will guide him with wisdom, enemy, and let the enemies who come against him fall, that they do not drive him out of office, that he will have an eight-year term, and let him will always remember that it is the Lord, the God, who is blessing him right now as the leader of the free world. And let us pray that he does justice in God's eyes. Now, some of you may be turned off about it because you've always brought up to believe in a other party's philosophy, but my friend, the day of thinking about Democrat Republican long overdue. Establishment Democrats and establishment Republicans both believe in a one world government. They believe in an Antichrist spirit. We need to stand up for who God wants us to vote to support. Yes, one day a one world government may come to the Antichrist, but it does not say in the book of Revelation, it does not say in the book of Daniel that we who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ should go in our hiding places and hide away while we see tribulation coming. We go out there and we continue on with the fight. We keep on preaching the word of the Lord and bring others to Christ as Jesus Christ told us to do. We do not shrink away from our responsibility. And when something is wrong, we say something is wrong. And that could be in your local government, your state government, and your federal government. And I don't say what the fascist left is doing right now. The fascist left is promoting violence. No, we who are believers in Jesus Christ, we are not violent. We persuade people through debate by not getting in the person's face. We let the Holy Spirit lead us in this debate, and it's up to that individual to realize that they've been wrong and come to Jesus Christ and follow him and want a nation that is holy, that is blessed by God. All right, verse 27. Sorry about that. I was trying to find my place. But do not fear of my servant Jacob. Do not be dismayed, O Israel, for behold, I will save you from afar and your offspring from the land of their captivity. Jacob shall return, have rest, be at ease. No one shall make him afraid. Do not fear, O Jacob, my servant, saith the Lord, for I am with you, for I will make a complete end of all the nations to which I have driven you, but I will not make a complete end of you. I will rightly correct you, for I will not leave you wholly unpunished. And see what the Lord is telling the descendants of Jacob is this. He's not forgetting them. He's not going to let them be wiped away from history, for he's going to keep his promise to them, and he will be with them. One day, they will be going into their land again. But at this time, he is punishing them. If you notice, through this punishment, he's showing a love and compassion for the people. And that's how the Lord is. He is a father that shows compassion to his children. And yes, he will discipline his children if they do wrong. Paul writes in the New Testament about chastisement of the Lord. In fact, he favors it. And the thing of it is, we all should favor the chastisement from the Lord, because if we do something wrong, and if we don't feel chastised, we better worry about it, because it means our hearts have hardened so much, we're not listening to him anymore. I want to be chastised for the Lord, feel bad for what I did so I could correct it, but not having that chastisement that the Lord does give to our hearts. We need that chastisement of the Lord at times so we know what to do that is right. Because you who are fathers, you who are mothers out there, do you not chastise your children when they do something wrong? And do you not correct your children, do something right? That is what the Lord does with you and I when we do something wrong. So we will come back and do what is right in his eyes. All right, let's go on to Jeremiah chapter 47. The word of the The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet against the Philistines before Pharaoh attacked Gaza. Thus saith the Lord, behold, waters rise out of the north, and shall be overflowing floods. They shall overflow the land and all that is in the city. The city and those who dwell within the men shall cry, and all the inhabitants of the land shall wail at the noise of the stampeding hooves of the strong horses, at the rushing of the chariot, at the rumbling of the wheels. The father will not look back for the children lacking courage because of the day that comes to plunder. All the Philistines cut off the Tyrians and Sidon, every helper who remains, for the Lord shall plunder the Philistines, the remnant of the country of Kaiapor. Baldness has come upon Gaza. Eshkan is cut off, the remnant of their valley. How long will you be cut your words? O sword of the Lord, how long until you are quiet? Put yourself up into your scabbard. Rest and be still. How can it be quiet, seeing the Lord is giving it charge against the Eshkan, against the seashore? There he was appointed to it. And if you notice, when he talks with the Philistines, they were sea kind of people. They were in Gaza, which we know as the Gaza Strip today, still there. And they lived by the sea. They didn't live in the sea, ha 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 ha. They lived by the sea. And the Lord, and as we know throughout the Bible, the Philistines were an enemy of Israel. They fought Israel all the time they could get. And thus, what is the Lord saying? He's going to destroy the Philistines. You see what's going on there? Because for them to be an enemy of the children of Israel, they are an enemy of God as well. Think about that. People who have decided they're going to fight God, I mean, God's people are fighting God. Just think of it as this, because you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are now grafted in as one of his people. You are grafted in as part of the children of Israel. So someone from the outside world who is not saved, does anything against you, they're attacking God as well because you're God's man. You're God's woman. And the Lord's going to protect his child, like you who have children. If your child's in trouble and someone's trying to harm your child, you're going to protect your child. Well, the Lord does as well. He's going to protect his children. Okay? Chapter 48 of the book of Jeremiah. Against Moab, thus saith the Lord of hosts, God of Israel, woe to Nebo, for it is plundered, the Kadeshon is shamed and taken, the high stronghold is shamed and dismayed. No more praise of Moab and Hebron, they have devised evil against her. Come, let us cut her off as a nation. You also shall be cut down, O madman. The sword shall pursue you. The voice crying shall be from the horn, plundering and great destruction. Moab is destroyed. Her little ones have caused the cry to be heard. For the ascent of Leprous, the sin, the continual weeping. For the descendants of Harnamah, the enemies have heard a cry of destruction. Flee, save your life. And be like the jumper, be like the juniper in the wilderness. For because you have trusted in your work and in your treasures, you also shall be taken. A cherishable shall go forth into captivity. For priests and princesses together, plunder shall come against every city. No one shall escape. The valley also shall perish. and a cleanse, and the plain shall be destroyed, and the Lord has spoken. Give wings to Moab, that she may flee and get away, for her cities shall be desolated without any dwell in them. Cursed is he who does the works of the Lord. Cursed is he who keeps the back his sword from blood. Moab has been at ease from his youth. He has settled on his dregs and has not been amplified from vessel to vessel, nor has he gone into captivity. Therefore, his taste remains in them, and his scent has not changed. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord, that I shall send him wine workers who will tip him over and empty his vessels and break the bottles. Moab shall be ashamed, Shechemosh, as the house of Israel was ashamed of Bethel and their confidence. How can you say, we are mighty and strong men of war? Moab is plundered and gone up from the city. Her chosen young men have gone down to slaughter, says the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts. The calamity of Moab is near at hand, and his affliction comes quickly. Bowman him. All who are around him, all who know his name, say how strong staff is broken, the beautiful rod. O daughter in heaven, the dividend, come down from your glory and sit first. From the plunder of Moab have come against you. He has destroyed your strongholds and inhabited above all. Stand by the way and watch. Ask him who flees. Ask who escaped. Says what has happened. Moab is shamed, for he is broken down. Wail and cry. Tell the Moab is plundered. The judgment has come on the plain country, on Holland, and Jasper, and Mephis, and Dibon, and Nebo, and Beth-Nelathum, on Kershinab, on Beth-Gilamur, and Beth-Munion, on the Kiloth and Brazra, on all the cities of the land of Moab, far and near. Horn of Moab is cut off, and his army is broken, saith the Lord. Make him drunk, for he magnified himself against the Lord. Moab shall swallow in his vomit. He shall also be in derision. For what is not Israel is derision to you, but he found among the thieves. For whatever you speak of him, you shall heed and scorn, who dwell in Moab. Leave the cities and dwell in the rock, like the dove which makes his nest, her nest. And the size of the cave of the mouth, we have heard the pride of Moab. He is extremely proud, and the loftiness of arrogance and pride, and the haughtiness of his heart. I know his wrath, saith the Lord, but he is not right. He lies and has made nothing right. Therefore, I will wail for Moab. I will cry out for all of Moab. I will mourn for the men of Kirkherd, of Vine Ship Sabash. I will weep for you with the weeping of Jazer. Your plants have gone over the sea, the reach of the sea of Jazer. The plunder has fallen on your summer fruit and your vintage. Joy and gladness are taken from the plundered field. And from the land of Moab, I have caused wine to fail from the wine presses. No one will tread the joyous shouting, not joy shouting, for the cry of Ishmael, the Ilsa, and Jazz. They have uttered other voices from Zoyer and Hanuman, like three old heifers from the waters of Nahrum, and shall be desolate. Moreover, saith the Lord, I will cause the cease in Moab, the one who offers sacrifice in the high places and burnt incense to his God. Therefore, my heart shall wail like fruits of a Moab, and like fruits his heart shall wail for the man of Keresh Kehurth. Therefore, the riches that have acquired have perished with all, and every ear click. And all the heads shall be cut, and all the loins sackcloth with general lamentation, and all the housetops of Moab, and its streets, for I have broken Moab like a vessel, in which is no pleasure, saith the Lord. Then shall wail, how she's broken down, how Moab has turned her back with shame. So Moab shall be a derision and a dismay to all those about her. But thus saith the Lord, behold, one shall fly like an eagle and spread his wings over Moab. Korah is taken, the strongholds are surprised, the mighty men's heart in Moab. One that day shall be like the heart of a woman in birth pain. Moab shall be destroyed as a people, because he has manifested himself against the Lord. Fear in the pit, and the snare shall be upon you. O inhabitants of Moab, saith the Lord, he who flees from the fear shall fail in the pit, and he who gets out of the pit shall be caught in the snare. For upon Moab, upon it, I will bring the year of their punishment, saith the Lord. Those who fled stood under the shadow of Hebron because of execution, because of exhaustion. Sorry about that. For the fire shall come out of Hebron, a flame in the midst of Shunah, and flames in the midst of Shallow Bahonavi, and shall devour and grow up Moab's crown on the head of the sons of Tumah. Woe to Moab, the people of Shoshosh parents, of where your sons shall be taken captivity and your daughters captivity. Yes, I will of Moab in the latter day, saith the Lord. Thus is the judgment of Moab. And the people there, what do? They worship pagan gods, and God is bringing a punishment to them. Again, we have to look at this in our church walk and our church life as well. And our church could well shut down one day, our church building, because we chose not to follow the Lord. So we allowed the outside world to influence what we teach on church on Sunday morning and our Bible studies during the week and what we do together as a church in general, believing that going to church is merely just a social call, and the preacher to preach is to make us feel good about ourselves. So we don't want to hear anything that is of God. We are walking not in a good line here. We're with the Lord. And the Lord can take His Holy Spirit away from us, that people start dwindling away and leaving the church till we are no more. See what that can happen. So you have to, if you want your church to grow, if you want a church to have people in it, you're going to have a revival within your own heart and teach the Word of God. Or if you start your church and you don't have anyone coming in it, you have to ask yourself, what are you doing wrong? Are you going out to your community and inviting people to come? People who never knew the Word of God. How can you interest them coming to your building and have fellowship with you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit coming on? That's what you need to ask yourself, and how you should do it. If not, and you blame other people for your own shortcomings, and you let your pride stand in your way, and you say, well, I'm not going to do this, Lord, because nothing's sitting in my nothing is going into my expectations about how things should be, well, you have to think for a moment, what if I'm not doing things with the Lord's expectations? Think about it. And you need to go out there and talk to people and show people the love of Christ. Let them come in and want to be loved and know who Jesus is. And that's how your church will grow. My friends, we're going to stop here for tonight. We'll continue on Thursday night with the book of Jeremiah. We'll continue on with our lesson. And I like to say this to my friend, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless your life, and may the Lord Christ Jesus always be with you, and may you always follow the Lord. For I say this in the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen.